Last weekend, I traveled to Atlanta, Georgia, to begin work on my upcoming documentary, A Guided Tour of America's Most Surveilled City. Atlanta has over 60,000 network surveillance cameras, or roughly one camera for every 8 residents. I asked residents how they felt about all the surveillance cameras in their city, and I am researching FBI crime data statistics to see how much, if any, these cameras may have reduced crime rates. While in the Atlanta area, I stopped by Dunwoody, Georgia to do a follow-up interview with Jason Hunyar. Jason has sent nearly 100 open records requests to the city of Dunwoody and has learned a lot about their relationship with flock safety. Jason has the literal receipts to prove many of the public statements issued by flock contradict facts he has learned through all his open records requests. I am Dr. John Padfield, an engineer turned state representative turned business professor. If you would like to support my work, especially the documentary I am working on, I invite you to buy me a coffee using this QR code or the link in the description, or to join my Patreon where I post a lot of behind-the-scenes content and some occasional content that is not YouTube algorithm-friendly. Now, on to the interview. Jason, it's nice to meet you in person. We did an interview, it's probably been a month or two ago now, where you were sharing with my audience what you had learned about flock employees watching cameras in the pool and gymnastics area of a daycare center. Can you share with my audience what happened after that when you took that information to the Dunwoody City Council?
So less than 6 days after they decided to spend over $200,000 more on more flock technology, they didn't do any third-party audit. The people who ostensibly would be in charge of oversight of flock, which would be two people with the Dunwoody Police Department, a major and a lieutenant, they went out to steak dinner at Little Alley Steakhouse with three flock employees shortly after. So it's a little concerning that nothing was actually done materially to be able to hold flock accountable for doing this. Flock released their own blog post saying that there was a demo partnership agreement. If that's not the exact quote that they used, it's very close. And so I submitted a Freedom of Information Act into the city because obviously there's some sort of agreement that I previously didn't receive. And the city responded that no agreement exists. So someone isn't telling the truth. And obviously it should be very clear if there was some sort of agreement as they referenced, and the city can't even provide any evidence of it.
I think this is one of my biggest problems with flock. It's not just they're putting up cameras everywhere. It's not just they're collecting all of our travel information. To me, it is, I'm trying to think of a polite word for it, suspicious at best. When they say we have an agreement and then you do a Freedom of Information request and the city says there is no agreement. Yep. All that tells me is at least one of them's lying.
Yeah.
Either they have an agreement and the city's lying to you, they don't have it, or flock is lying that they have an agreement and the city's telling the truth. I don't know any third option that would allow this to be true without somebody lying.
100%. Yeah. Two things. Both of them can't be true at the same time.
Very well said.
Yeah.
But when I go on flock's website and I start reading their terms of service, you know, again, they say we don't look at these cameras, and then you have evidence that they did. So there's two times that I'm thinking, doesn't seem like flock is being completely honest when you say this, but you do that. And then you say there's an agreement and the people you made the agreement with say there is no agreement. There seems to be a pattern.
Yes, 100%.
And I'm the type of person that I look at data, but I look at data to find patterns. Mm-hmm. And to me, it looks like a pattern of dishonesty.
Yeah, and I mean, two things about their blog post that I think are super important to address is, one, they made it sound like they access one camera in the private community center, which is just not true whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So they use the singular word camera, which isn't true. The second thing is that they also don't commit to ending the practice. So they said they just prefer to do it in like retail parking lots or something, where once again, the public has not consented to this, to being surveilled through a private company for sales demos is their excuse. They haven't even committed to ending the practice. So if you're a retailer like Home Depot or Lowe's who has these cameras, maybe you should second guess partnering with them if they're gonna use your customers for these quote-unquote sales demos. Further building off that, on September 30th of 2025, when this person looked at their camera, who's a vice president for them, he looked at one camera in the entire Flock network in Dunwoody. There's over 400 connected devices that I can see on their transparency portal. It was in the gymnastics room at this community center where the picture of the community center on the website is little girls. They said that this is for a sales demo. Can anyone explain to me what police department would want to look at one third-party camera integration in a little girl's gymnastics room and use that to make a decision off if they wanted to partner with Flock or not? That just doesn't make sense.
Have you checked to see if any of those people have their name in the e-files?
They do not, to my knowledge, no.
Just checking.
Yes.
You mentioned that they went out to a steak dinner. Did that show up in the Freedom of Information request as well? Receipts or anything from that dinner?
No. So I actually had requested some text messages between those two Dunwoody police officers and the Flock employees, and that's when they came up. So it was a text group thread between them on iMessage about going to steak dinner and the parking being bad around Little Alley Steakhouse.
Interesting. Another topic that I have read on your Substack, which is great, I read that regularly. You talked about finding a playbook for Flock and the way that they are circumventing some oversight provisions that most cities have. Can you elaborate on what you found?
Yeah, so they call them safe cities. I would disagree with that framing, but if you go on their own website, which I think is Flock's website, is maybe the best resource for all of the conversations we have, because if you look at what is facing the public versus what they sell to the police department, anyone could see the clear difference. But if you read it, it's just talking about avoiding those pesky procurement people in city council oversight. So their business model with these safe cities is to have surveillance as a service per capita, and so you can just increase those service contracts ostensibly by what they lay out without any civilian oversight or city council oversight or approval. That's the whole point of these safe city initiatives. And then also through open records, I found evidence through the Attorney General's office of them trying to set up some sort of initiative to make Georgia a safe state. So I have no idea what that looks like or what the outcome of that meeting was.
I think one of the most troubling things to me, I served two terms in the Indiana House. I'm a big proponent of our founding documents. Thomas Jefferson wrote in the Declaration of Independence, "We hold these truths to be self-evident." He said that we have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To me, one of the most important lines in the entire Declaration of Independence follows immediately after that. After saying we have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, he said, "To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed."
Yes.
I have yet, and I trust me, I have looked all over the country, I have yet to find one city council member, one county council member, one mayor who ran for office on a platform of "elect me and I will put 1,000 cameras around the city to track everyone." If anyone is aware of that, I wish they'd bring it to my attention, but I can't find anyone who campaigned on "elect me and I will put hundreds of cameras up to track everyone." So to me, they are doing this without our consent. There was never a public debate about how much surveillance do people want to live under? How much anonymity are you willing to give up if you believe it's going to provide you with some safety? That debate never took place, and now not only is the debate not taking place, but the guardrails that were put in place to ensure transparency, it sure looks to me like they are finding ways of getting around the transparency requirements, going out and getting funding so that it doesn't have to go through the procurement procedure at the city level. One other related topic to all of that, Flock talks about, we don't own the data, the data is owned by the customer, but if the customer is using federal funds, a grant from Department of Homeland Security, do you know who truly is the customer if that money is coming from the federal government to pay for these contracts?
I have no idea, and it's very hard to track down Flock's actual contracts because they have their web terms online and they've opted out of internet archiving. So every time they update their terms, someone like you or me can't double check. My city councilman tried to double check what the previous version of the terms were, and he couldn't check what the previous version of the terms were. So they're constantly evolving with the definition of customer. So the last round before their major updates, the customer were just the police officers, and they said explicitly, we don't sell customer data. Well, what that meant to actual legal terms was that they don't sell the data about the police officers using the system. Raw footage and what's actually intake on the cameras is not included in that definition. They are very explicit, but they made it seem like, oh, the general public is the customer. Well, that's not true if you exclude the actual inputs are the customer. So then they put the raw footage back in the terms of customer, and then they magically removed the we do not sell customer data from the contracts, from the legal terms. So I had one of my city council women ask in a public meeting, in our city council meeting, she asked the head of legal, Dan Haley from Flock, and he said, oh, it was redundant. It's like, okay, if it's redundant, then just leave it in. Like, mm-hmm. what's the harm of leaving it in if it's redundant? And it's clearly not redundant. It's just not true.
How many laws do we have in the United States at the federal, state, or city level that are redundant?
Yeah.
This is not a one of a kind.
No. And they've made a lot of really, in my opinion, hilarious legal changes where they just say, oh, this is standard SaaS language, software as a service language. It's like, okay, well, why are you adding this now when the previous 3 years of contracts you didn't have it? Like, that doesn't make sense. You can't just put in, oh, we're going to use AI training on your data because it's standard software as a service. That logic doesn't make any sense.
To me, this looks like a corporate shell game. If I say this belongs to you, but I get to keep a copy of it and I can do anything I want with my copy, I'm not using your data, I'm using my copy of your data.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Explain that to me. That seems like the same thing to me.
Yeah. So my city pretended to address this issue by saying that, okay, they can't use the raw images or the footage to train AI models, but they didn't include any derived data. So for example, if you were driving past with your car, a Flock camera, they can't use the pictures of you to train their AI model. Well, that's very expensive. Why would you train an AI model on all those pictures? You would train your AI model on, okay, John is driving in this direction. He has this bumper sticker. He's usually traveling in this direction in this time of day. That's what they're going to train the AI model on under this derived data definition. And our contract still allows that. So there's no, I mean, it's a good analogy would be, okay, you're giving me your diary, right? Flock's inputs are your diary. Flock now can no longer sell your diary, but they can read your diary and tell everyone and sell what they have read about you without selling the actual diary itself. So it's not actually protecting us whatsoever. And they're just constantly playing this game and pretending to be transparent. And it's just so insulting. So like myself, my city council members, I was outside talking to one of my city council members and I asked them, I was like, how does it feel being lied to over and over again? And she was just like, I don't have an answer for that.
There are so many loopholes, and I'm not a lawyer, but I have seen lawyer games, and I served in the legislature. Trust me, I have seen lawyer games over and over. When I hear, we don't use the raw images, okay, I have a photograph that's this big. I'm going to crop it to this big.
Yes.
This is no longer a raw image. This has been processed.
Yep.
Or I applied a filter to do some color correction. That's no longer the raw
Correct.
Image. It's the same image with color correction.
Yeah.
And it's those types of things that I have seen companies over and over pull this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And add to this Flock's reputation already of saying one thing and doing the exact opposite. Going back to Ben Jordan's video that he made several months ago, I believe that was the video that got you involved in this whole issue.
Yep.
Ben was able to get inside of Flock's network, and afterwards Flock claimed Flock has never been hacked.
Yeah.
Okay, to me, that looks like a word game. If I leave my front door standing wide open and somebody walks in, technically they did not break in. they still got inside my house. And my interpretation of what Flock is claiming is no one ever hacked into our network. Well, they didn't need to because your security was so poor, they didn't need to hack. Yep. They just looked around for the open door and then they walked in. So it's these types of things, that a pattern of dishonesty that makes me very suspicious. They do not get the benefit of the doubt in my mind because they haven't earned the benefit of doubt. They have played lawyer games every opportunity that they've had, and it makes me very suspicious.
Yeah, they refuse to take ownership or accountability when something happens with the system. Like, for example, going back to the private gymnastics center, them viewing the cameras, they said explicitly there's some sort of agreement. But as we talked about earlier, the city can't produce any record of an agreement. So instead of owning it and saying we incorrectly authorized or accessed these cameras, which is what they told the private community center CEO, Garrett Langley emailed the CEO of the private community center, we apologize, but then they lied at him again and say, oh, we had permission from the Dunwoody Police Department. The city can't provide me with any permission. So why are we still trusting this company? Doesn't make sense.
Now, I remember reading in your Substack, there was some official within the Dunwoody government who basically came to Flock's defense about this whole incident, kind of defending Flock with them looking at these cameras. And you did a little digging and found some interesting things. Could you share that with my audience?
Mm-hmm. So that was a security assessment that the city had asked, the city council had asked the city to conduct, the city employees to conduct about Flock. And this was actually before the private community center's cameras that I found out that they were accessing, which bring this back. Like, it's so concerning that I was the one who found this out as like a private citizen, mm-hmm. who's, this is not my full-time job. And so before this incident, they had asked to do a security assessment for the city. Well, through open records requests, I guess taking a step back, I was very confused at the output of the security assessment, because the security assessment, when it was presented to the city council, and I requested in an earlier version which had comments, there was no evidence of anything that Flock was claiming, which for a security assessment, you should be able to provide evidence for every single piece of evidence that you were, or every single claim that you were making, right? Like, even the most basic things they couldn't provide evidence of, like that they had an internal security training program. It's like, okay, if you have an internal security training program, you can just take a screenshot of how you do this and you can provide evidence mm-hmm. for the city to independently verify. Well, all of this happened, and yet this director of technology for the city, Ginger LePage, she recommended to the city council that we move forward with Flock, and gave her recommendation. So it was honestly very confusing to me. So my previous job was, two jobs were selling software to pharmaceuticals manufacturers. So I know what security assessments should look like, mm-hmm. since my companies, and I was conducting them on my behalf and facilitating them on behalf of my company. I couldn't square that circle. So I submitted Freedom of Information Act requests for emails between her and Flock employees, and then earlier versions of that assessment. And through that process, I find that she had solicited money from Flock for $2,000 for a sponsorship for an organization that she was part of just weeks before she was asked to conduct the assessment. I don't have any evidence that she accepted the money or has previously accepted money for Flock, but I mean, that's obviously very concerning that you would be soliciting money from a vendor that you're being asked to evaluate. And I also submitted a Freedom of Information Act request asking if she'd filled out any conflict of interest forms about this. She hadn't. So digging further into the documents I received, when I received emails, the city incorrectly included an attachment on one of them. That was an earlier version of the security assessment. And the matrix was completely different from the original questionnaire that she sent versus the one that was presented to the council. So in the original version of her assessment, if there was no evidence, it would be marked red. And it's obviously a red flag. Any reasonable person would say, okay, yeah, if you can't provide evidence, that's a red flag. Well, halfway through, she added a new category to the rubric and changed it completely so that if they didn't provide evidence of something, it would still look fine to the city council. And she went on to present the updated rubric, which she changed halfway through. And I haven't been able to find any explanation of why that was done. I mean, the rubric was very clear when it was initially sent to the customer or to Flock.
Okay, for my own understanding, yeah. I want to make sure I have this timeline right.
Yeah.
She is in charge of doing the security assessment before the city contracts with Flock.
Yes.
Her initial draft has some red on it because she had identified some shortcomings. Flock was not able to provide evidence.
A lot of red. It would be mostly red.
Okay. So preliminary, this was not shared with the city council, but the preliminary, there was a lot of red because Flock was not meeting the requirements.
Yes.
And then she solicited $2,000 from Flock for a sponsorship?
That was before she had started the security assessment, when okay. she had solicited money from them.
Okay, so she had solicited the money, then she filled out an assessment where they were failing.
Yes.
And then she changed the assessment so that the reds went away, and she had a cleaner version of the document to give to the city council that they then approved.
Yes, and in between the second and third step, she emailed Flock's sales employee, Steve Hampton, who's our account manager, to quote-unquote help bring the score up in between the second and third phases where she changed the security assessment.
Interesting.
Yes.
Nothing to see here, folks. Move along. Thank you for not watching.
Yeah.
Wow. So I guess the takeaway is we just need to trust them. They're all about safety, not surveillance. And in spite of all of these red flags and disappearing red ink on assessments, we're just supposed to trust them.
Yeah. And I think the larger issue is this is like Dunwoody, although they're a very early adopter for Flock, and Flock has put a lot of investment into finding the contract here locally, including hiring three crisis management firms from Washington, D.C. to come meet in my city hall. This is happening all over the country, right? Like they're quietly working with employees behind the scenes to city employees behind the scenes to dissuade city councils from taking an objective view of them. And I mean, if they can't provide evidence for these basic security claims for Dunwoody, I haven't seen them provide any evidence anywhere else in the country.
I can't let that go. You said they hired three crisis communication companies. Where did you find that out?
That's a great question. So I'm in way too deep to the Freedom of Information Act request. But
and I thank you for that. On behalf of my audience, I want to thank you for that because this is time consuming. It can get very expensive.
Yes.
So on behalf of all of us, thank you for your efforts in pursuing this.
Yeah.
But I can't wait to hear more.
Yeah. And I've been handcuffed with the Information Act request because the city is trying to charge me a lot, but that's another subject. But my wife won't let me spend a bunch of money on it, rightfully so. So this is only what I've been able to find through like a few ones that the city replied to me that were free. But through one of the police officer earlier that I was mentioning, I saw the text messages he had included on email. Holly Balin, I'm not sure how to pronounce her last name. She's I think she's the assistant to the chief communications officer for Flock. And so I saw an email invitation from her for a real-time crime center tour in Dunwoody City Hall with Flock, just the lieutenant from the police department, three employees for Flock, and then a bunch of people from three crisis management firms from Washington, D.C. On their websites, it talks about activating a network of over 1,000 local operatives in. I would encourage anyone to read their actual websites because they're just concerning reading them in their own. But one of them, for example, Targeted Victories, 3 years ago, they were hired by Meta to secretly slander TikTok for 3 years. This was reported by the Washington Post. So Flock is investing quite a lot of money into these crisis management firms to engage with, I guess, their grassroots operatives, quoting their own website.
Wow. It's taken a minute for me to catch up with what you just said, because that's huge. They are spending money on the crisis management. So my takeaway from this is my audience, Ben Jordan's audience, Naomi Brockwell's audience, a number of us on YouTube that have been talking about this, collectively, we have a huge audience that has been showing up in mass at city council meetings. And it sounds like our audiences are being very successful, and that's why Flock is resorting to crisis management to try and combat the people.
Yeah, I mean, my personal ask would that instead of spending this money trying to deceive the public and make it seem like there's a lot of grassroots support for Flock, which I do not believe is the case, that they invested that money into their actual cybersecurity program, which would seem like a much better investment for the benefit of the community.
I know Ben Jordan worked with Josh Michael in one of his videos. I've had some conversations with Josh. He has shared, I did an interview with him about Flock Nova, which is Flock's massive AI invasion of privacy platform. One of Josh's big concerns was the security is so poor, it's practically a given that foreign nations are inside a Flock. If individual people in the U.S. are getting in without having to hack, they're not putting in passwords, they're not breaking passwords, they're just finding the doors that were left open. If YouTubers are doing this, what's the odds that the Chinese Communist Party is doing it? I'd say it's a given.
Yeah, I mean, I've never met Josh. I'm sure he's a nice, smart guy, but I don't think we need to take his word for it. Let's take Congressman, Congressman Ron Wyden from, or Senator Ron Wyden
Senator
from Washington.
Ron Wyden, one of my favorite senators.
Yeah, in a letter to the FTC, he said, and I quote, that Flock has a cavalier attitude towards cybersecurity, and it's a national security threat.
I agree wholeheartedly.
I think he's a little bit in the know when it comes to this thing since he's on the Senate Intelligence Committee.
I have made a video just about Senator Ron Wyden before, and I try to avoid politics, but when it comes to privacy, Senator Ron Wyden is one of the best voices in the entire U.S. Senate, and he has had several pieces of legislation that he has introduced to try and protect people's privacy, and he has been one of the most outspoken members of the Senate. So I applaud him on privacy issues. So that's great to know that he's on top of this. It's also scary to know that that's the situation that we're dealing with right now.
Yeah, and my understanding with Senator Wyden too is that he knows so much behind the scenes that he can't make public because of his security clearance. And so he's just been ahead of his times trying to lead the public into what is happening behind the scenes without, you know, going outside of that clearance. So it's very concerning that he's so outspoken about Flock. Like, I'm not sure what he knows that he can't discuss because it would be a national security issue.
Well, one of the things that Josh has brought up to me, we know this has been widely reported. A few years ago, the Chinese Communist Party hacked and got inside of the Office of Personnel Management in Washington, D.C. They have the files on every current and former federal employee, every current and former federal contractor. And so the idea that China knows who's on SEAL Team 6, who's on SEAL Team 1, Delta Force, etc., they almost assuredly have the names, they probably have the license plate numbers, and if they are inside of Flock's network, which is a very reasonable thing, as you said, Senator Ron Wyden has alluded to that already, think about what they can learn when they see nobody a part of this unit of Delta Force has been seen driving a car in the last 48 hours.
Yep.
Gee, I wonder if they're on deployment. And when was the last time one was seen? Where was it seen? Who else disappeared at the same time that Delta Force quit driving? There is a ton of highly sensitive information that could compromise our national security because a private company is collecting all this information and failing to adequately protect it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happened in Iran, right? That's how they got Khamenei, is that Israel hacked into Iran's security cameras around his palace and knew where he was, and they were able to kill him. Like, that we have the exact same issue here with our national security infrastructure. And yeah, I would agree with you that, I mean, it's a joke to think that YouTubers could access this system, but other foreign intelligence operatives whose literal jobs it is and are paid hundreds of millions of dollars, not millions of dollars, into these programs don't have access to the same systems.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There is a ton of data coming in. We know that Flock is well over 100,000 cameras at this point. I was having a conversation just last week with a cybersecurity researcher who told me that he has seen evidence that suggests it's closer to 200,000. Now, that is not a firm number, but he shared with me his reason for believing the actual number of Flock devices is approaching 200,000. There is so much data coming in from this, video live streams, all of these stills that are being taken. Plus, we know that Flock is wanting to expand. They had originally contracted with Ring to get doorbell footage. They have announced that they are trying to partner with dash cam companies to get additional footage. Where is all of this data being processed?
I have no idea. So as part of that security assessment that we mentioned earlier, the director of technology asked Flock for a sub-processor list. So that would just be showing, you know, what companies are hosting our data and where. And Flock was not willing to provide that information, or, I mean, I would assume that they have that information. I would hope so, but they weren't willing to provide that information. So the answer is we have no idea where this data is being processed. I don't, you don't, the city doesn't. Maybe Flock doesn't have an idea where their data is processed, but ostensibly somewhere in data centers. I mean, this is a ton of information that's coming in. And something that's really important to remember when we're talking about Flock is that a large portion of their business is integrating into third-party private cameras. So for example, with that private community center, that's just one example of these private community centers or other private businesses integrating their cameras in. So although you might see a pull on the street that you're like, oh, this is a Flock camera, well, that they can integrate into any other camera that has internet protocol activity or IP connectivity. So they are doing this constantly. They integrated all of our traffic cameras in Dunwoody without any contract into the Flock system. So what you see is just a small percentage of the actual cameras in taking this vast amount of data in. And yeah, I have no idea where it's processed. Some data center where that Flock isn't willing to tell us about.
You'll find this interesting. I have been digging into crime statistics. In 2019, Atlanta was deemed the most surveilled city in the United States. It was the only American city that made the top 10 most surveilled cities in the world as of 2019. And this is coming from a research company in the UK. As of 2024, I can't remember what month, but as of 2024, they claim that there were 60,000 surveillance cameras in Atlanta. And the significance of that, you know, we have to define our terms.
Yeah.
What is a surveillance camera? And they defined it as a camera that could be city owned, it could be privately owned, but if it is connected to a law enforcement network, that was considered a surveillance camera. Mm-hmm. Atlanta was number one in the country on a per capita basis, 60,000 cameras, over 60,000 cameras in Atlanta. On a per capita basis, that works out to about one surveillance camera for every 8 residents. And I found it shocking. Washington, D.C., the second most surveilled city in the country, has less than half that number of cameras. Mm-hmm. They have approximately one camera for every 18 residents. And then Philadelphia, which is about half of what Washington, D.C. is. So my background is engineering. I'm a business professor. Yeah. I think in terms of data, and the first question that came to my mind is, what are we getting for this? We're spending millions and millions of dollars on it. How much is this bringing crime down?
Yep.
So my approach, I have data for Atlanta. I went back to the FBI's Uniform Crime Report, and I am not done with this analysis yet. I have looked at homicide. I need to go back and look at other crimes as well, but I started with homicide, what most people would consider the worst crime. Mm-hmm. And I looked at what is the homicide rate in Atlanta, and that number by itself is meaningless unless you have something to compare to. So I took the 10 next biggest cities and the 10 next smallest cities. So I have 20 peer cities to compare against Atlanta. Atlanta is the 36th biggest city in the country. I've got 20 cities of similar size to Atlanta. Those 20 cities cover geographically from Miami, Florida to Portland, Oregon. I mean, literally, okay. This is as diverse as you can get.
Yeah.
Some are from blue states, some are from red states. I calculated what is the average homicide rate across these 20 cities and compared it to Atlanta, which is by far the most surveilled. Atlanta has a 30% higher homicide rate, which begs the question, what good are these cameras doing if you have a 30% higher homicide rate than the 20 nearest sized cities? And then the argument that I keep hearing is, yes, but we're able to clear these murders. So I started looking at the clearance rate because the FBI has that data as well. Mm-hmm. Atlanta has a lower clearance rate than the average of those 20 cities.
Yep.
Now it's close, but you would think if you are the most surveilled city, I can't walk down the street without being on camera. I can't drive across a bridge without being on camera. How do you have a 30% higher homicide rate and a lower closure rate with all of these cameras?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a mechanical engineer, and I like to take a data-driven approach to things, and there's no data proving that these cameras actually reduce crime. And we're spending so much money on these cameras and this surveillance apparatus that actually has not been able to show in a peer-reviewed study that reduces crime. So why are we continuing to invest millions and millions of dollars into these cameras when there are things that have been shown to reduce crime in areas? It just doesn't make sense to me. There's a lot of fear mongering that Flock does locally on a police department. I mean, for example, Major Patrick Krieg in my police department, he's a huge proponent of Flock. He goes on all their blogs and speaks for them. He was also one of the police officers who went out to the steak dinner with them, but someone will ask him a question at a city council meeting, and this happens all over the country. They recently did a training on for police officers on how to talk to your city council. The city council member asks, okay, can you tell me about how data is shared? And then suddenly there's this nonsensical story about a hypothetical child being kidnapped and taken to another jurisdiction, right? Like, I'm about to have a child. I'm very concerned about children, especially my own. But then when I provided evidence that Flock employees and Flock executives were looking at cameras where actual children are in a gymnastic studio or in a pool at a private community center, nothing happens. The police department doesn't care. So do you care about children or do you not? Because I mean, I can't square the circle on how we're caring about these hypothetical children that haven't even been kidnapped and are taken across 10 minutes away, or people who actually exist who are working out, or children who are doing gymnastics. They're actually, the cameras in there are being looked at. No one cares. Like, it just, there's a lot of fear mongering that Flock does. Their whole public safety business model, I mean, they're just a huge data company. They're not a public safety company.
A couple of weeks ago, I was interviewed by an ABC affiliate in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And after the interview, I watched the segment that aired. They showed my response to some questions where I was raising some Fourth Amendment issues about people's data being collected. And then they had a police officer, not directly responding to me, but he was sharing his perspective. And I could tell he has probably been through some type of training about how to respond to media questions. What really struck me was, this is a police officer, and I'm not knocking him or attacking him as an individual, but this is a police officer who said, we were specifically talking about Flock Raven, the microphones, yes, rather than the cameras. And he said, these are designed so that they won't listen to conversations. And now I didn't get a chance on camera to respond to that. My background is electrical engineering, and I would love to sit down with that officer and say, please explain to me, if I wanted to listen to a conversation, how would I design this differently? Would I put a microphone in it? Well, it has one. Would I connect it to the internet? It is connected to the internet. Would I use AI? It uses AI. Yeah. Tell me what you'd do different if you wanted to listen to conversations. Mm-hmm. The hardware's there. The only thing that may prevent it from listening to conversations is policy. And what have we been discussing throughout this interview? Flock routinely violates their own policies. Flock makes statements that their customers contradict. I don't have a whole lot of trust that Flock's policies are going to stop them from using these devices in ways that they claim they don't use them.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to talk about that a little bit more. So the first thing with Flock's policies is they're ever evolving. And what they tell the public is, once again, not what they tell the police officers that are using the cameras. So if you go on Flock's website, which, once again, great resource if you're looking to find out what they actually do, their quarter two 2025 product blog said that they're upgrading every ALPR camera to a video camera for free. They have the ability to. So that, I mean, there's no such thing as an ALPR camera. It just happens to be an AI camera that can also scan videos. Like, so that's something that's very important. Along with the gunshot detection, right, which is what they originally called the microphones. Great reporting was done by 404 Media and later followed up on with the EFF that, okay, now they're listening to people. They're listening for children and people screaming. There was never any consent of the public on these updates happening. When I asked the police officers, when I went to the real-time crime center, they told me that it was a product enhancement. And then when I followed up in writing, they won't answer my questions. So it's just very concerning that Flock has these policies that they constantly are trying to change and use legal words to move around without actually having any way to be transparent. And I mean, we never even had the conversation of if we wanted these cameras in the first place. I feel like I had something else to say and then I forgot. Oh, so I also found out recently, I'm not sure if you heard, but my police chief told the city council meeting, all of them, in a recent city council retreat that they, quote unquote, well, I'll start the quote here, they deployed the gunshot detectors, the microphones, to the Hispanic community because they don't call the police. He literally said that to the city council. Three of those city council members were on the city council in 2020 when they passed a hate crime ordinance that specifically says that you can't have any policy or do anything that disproportionately affects someone based on their ethnicity or where they're from or country of origin. And here's the police chief telling the city council that they put microphones, high-powered microphones, in the Hispanic communities. Nothing happens. Like, that is literally a hate crime by the city's own definition. And apparently if the city does it, then it's not a crime. But like, it's just so concerning. And then I would love to hear Fox's response on that, because on their own ethics page, it says this technology, we design it to not be used discriminately against other people or against minorities or people who have been persecuted before disproportionately. I asked Flock, will you turn off those gunshot detector microphones since they're clearly being used predominantly because it's a Hispanic community? I would love to hear Flock's response on that. It's against their own ethics policy.
Well, yeah, we know how much their policies mean.
Yes, yeah.
It sounds to me like their policies are written by marketing people.
Yes, yeah. I mean, they're very good at search engine optimization. I will say that. Maybe they're a search engine optimization company before they're a data company. They're so good at it.
Well, Jason, it's been a pleasure talking with you again. I hope the next time that we talk, it can be about something more pleasant than all of the surveillance that we're all having to endure right now. But thank you so much for the work you're doing.
Yeah, thanks for coming down to meet me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
If you enjoyed this video, please mark the week of August 16th on your calendar for the National Week of Action Against Automated License Plate Readers. There will be peaceful rallies across the country that week, and I will be a speaker at the rally in Atlanta. Visit noalprs.com to sign up for updates. My Brushfires of Freedom tour has a lot of tour stops scheduled over the next few months, including my 19-city, 16-state Western tour from July 16th through August 11th. Visit brushfirestour.com for the latest information. What do you think about the discoveries Jason shared in this video? I can't wait to read your comments.